Hello everyone and welcome to Mariachi Podcast, Episode 3. I am your host, Javier Rodriguez. Buenos Aires. For this episode, I went down to Houston, Texas to meet a great friend and musical director for Mariachi Imperial. Hola a todos y bienvenidos al Episodio 3 del Mariachi Podcast. Soy su anfitrión, Javier Rodriguez. Para este episodio, viajé a Houston, Texas para conocer un poco más a un gran amigo y el director musical del Mariachi Imperial de América. Este episodio está en inglés, así si quieren ver la traducción en español, por favor de visitar mi sitio mariachipodcast.com. And without further ado, let's jump right in.
Mr. Longoria, thank you for being in Mariachi Podcast.
Gracias, Javier, por la invitación. Thank you.
No, thank you for taking the opportunity to be here with us. So the reason I chose you to be in the Mariachi Podcast was we met back, 2 years ago, was it the Houston
Livestock
Show Rodeo? Yes, and I admired the way you handled your group. I see that there's a high level of musicianship there in your group. Can you explain?
Well, man, that takes us way back. I've had a lot of inspiration from different composers, different arrangers, mm-hmm. and you're always learning, you know.
Right.
You watch video, you watch people that you admire, and you aspire to be like that, you know.
Wow.
So it's taken a while, pero gracias a Dios, we're happy with what we're doing.
Awesome.
Gracias.
Tell us a little bit about your background. Of course, your name, your instrument, and when you started playing.
Well, mira. You know, before I even start talking,
yes.
I just have to really say that everything that I've accomplished or whatever I say, it's by God, man.
You know? Okay, awesome.
Credit to Diosito.
Amen.
And then everybody else is an important instrument to where we're at now.
Okay.
Mi nombre es José Isabel Longoria.
Okay.
The name, I never got to really appreciate it, so my dad told me why he named me José Isabel. And they never called me Jose. Chabelo.
Yeah,
Chabelo.
That's what I called you on stage, Chabelo. Yeah. Remember that? Yeah. Because everybody was calling you Chabelo. Chabelo.
Why do you call me, I'm in elementary. Like, right. Why do you call me Jose? And right. Home, Chabelo. What's up? But I saw the name Isabel. And
right.
I was always embarrassed, you know. But until my dad told me, you know. So it's to me now it's totally one of the biggest things. So my father, when he came in the 70s,
right.
He came with his brother, Jose Isabel Longoria,
okay.
Chabelo.
Right.
They were swimming in Galveston. He drowned. So,
sorry.
Yeah. So then before he was married and they came, he lost his brother. And when he got married, 5-6 years later,
yes,
I was named after him. So
wow.
That to me was like super special. And so it's a total blessing there.
Wow. Okay. So you said your dad landed here in the 70s as a musician, or I mean, what was his inspiration to come here?
Well, his inspiration was to make money, like everybody else, right?
Looking for a better future for you. Right.
Well, he was single.
Okay,
that happened.
So he met your mom here in Houston.
She's from León, Guanajuato.
Okay, so they both came in.
So they just came.
Okay.
And with another uncle, and well, they went back with the bad news and stuff.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
During that time when they came. My dad was kind of a musician a little bit, but he came here to work. So
okay.
Trabajaba matanza with their slaughterhouse.
Oh, okay,
you know?
Okay.
That's what he did, you
wow.
know. And that was his job. And one day they invited him to a restaurant and tamo mariachi. And then my uncle said, me toca cantar una canción or algo, you know. Órale, dale chance a este chavo que se canta, you know. My dad was in his 20s.
Okay,
you know?
Sí.
So then they heard him, and you know, también toca un poquito trompeta. Hombre, pues. You know, I think there was only like 2 mariachis here in that time. And it was a place called Las Cazuelas. And it's obviously it's not there anymore, pero...
Las Cazuelas.
Yeah. So they, from there on, they got his... Hey, hablan los siguientes. Yeah. He didn't even have a number or nothing.
Okay.
No, but they looked for him, you know. And that's how he actually got started.
Oh, okay.
Then he went back and got married. And he came back again when he was married.
Oh, okay. Nice, brother. How many brothers and sisters are there musicians?
Well, I have 2 brothers and then I have 2 sisters. We all played an instrument or so. My sisters, they played just during middle school, but in high school they kind of didn't. My younger sister, now she's kind of still likes the music
oh, okay.
and all that stuff, but she loves music as well. But my brothers, they actually, They still play them in. So they have
their names.
They have Adrián Longoria and Jorge Longoria. They have their own group now. So.
They both have in each group, or
they're in the same
group. In the same group.
Yeah, yeah.
Name?
Who's the, oh, their name? Yeah. Mariachi Origini. Perdón, Mariachi Tradición de Jalisco.
Tradición de Jalisco. Yes. Nice. And I believe, I mean, I follow some people because I see their talent sometimes on YouTube or Facebook. And is it, I guess he's got a nickname, Llaneros,
uh-huh.
right? And he played, I mean, every instrument, correct?
Right.
Because I've seen him, I mean, I jam out on every instrument. Yeah. I'm like, dude,
we're kind of the same. But we didn't really take on the trumpet.
That's the only?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Actually, I composed a song after him. It's an instrumental song. Wow. Llaneros Coquitín. We kind of call him like that in his youth.
Wow. Okay.
But yeah, that's one of the things that my dad never, my dad's a trumpet player.
Wow, and that's the only instrument.
And he never like, hey,
la trompeta.
You're not gonna play well, like
right.
nothing. You're gonna play violin because, in everything you can have 5-6 violins in a
right.
group, but you can only have one vihuela.
Exactly.
So that was his always. Y tú cantas.
Okay.
So he never really took the time. He's like, "Oh, enseñar trompeta." I wish, you know.
Right.
I mean, I kind of help my students out, pero but that's one thing that But now that my son, he plays all the instruments.
Wow.
You know, so he's blessed. So that's, I'm glad that he's doing that because you never know what you're going to use it in the future.
Right, right. Awesome, yeah. brother. Can you, me puedes contar algo de tu juventud, something from your youth, something that inspired you to keep going? Because I'm going to tell you, on the first podcast, which is introducing myself to how I got introduced to mariachi, there comes a point and the youth and la juventud que dices, is this even worth trying, you know? But the music kept me going. So, ¿me puedes contar algo de tu juventud that kept you? I mean, I know it was your parents, but something special.
So, como cualquier cosa, you know, your parents are like, hey, you're going to do this. Well, my dad is, you're going to do this. No, yo,
okay.
It's not like, you know, like, okay. Hey, well, si quieres. No,
right.
You know, it was a way of life. So my
wow,
first gig started
so
like when I was eight years old, and I had my first vihuela, and I did a 3-hour gig. You know, me quedé dormido después de las 3 horas.
Wow, I'm getting there, brother.
Pero as I was growing up, I was, you know, always, we were like the youngest musicians here in Houston.
Okay.
And it was my brother, Jorge, he's 1 year younger than me. So we started mariachi 10 years old, 11 years old. We didn't see no youngsters, you know?
Right.
Siempre tenían por gente grande, 40, 50. Older people were like, man, this thing is for older people, you know?
Right.
Why are we doing this, you know? Like, we did it because my dad, you know? So, pero tenemos ese talento, pero we didn't have, like, the passion for it. Like, you know,
una inspiración, an inspiration.
Just
okay.
I feel proud, you know?
Right, right.
Then we got to the middle school years. I'm like,
oh,
man,
okay.
I hope I don't run into any people here, man, because, you know, it's like, you know,
see,
it's embarrassing,
you
man.
You feel like you're not worthy, right? That's the way I felt.
You know, my homeboys are,
right.
you know,
yeah.
What I live with, you know, doing stuff, you know, whatever teenagers do, right?
Right.
So it wasn't until I got to 9th grade, I met a friend, because we would go to León, Guanajuato.
Back and forth.
Maybe once, twice a year.
Okay.
And a friend got married. This is the very first time that I really got me. So, because, you know, I was always thinking, this is only for older people.
Right.
Man, I saw mariachi uno de unos 15. They were all my age. They were 14, 15. Like,
oh,
that's when the light turned on.
Okay.
I'm like, man, this
right.
is it. This is not just me.
Right.
This is for everybody. So, after that point, that's when I realized that was the breaking point for me where I'm doing the right thing.
The right thing.
So,
I will keep going.
I mean, like I said, you know, we're always blessed that we had that talent.
Yes.
So the habano solos and things would just come quick, you know. La música era siempre. We knew we had the talent and we had the facilidades and different things. But, man, that was a breaking point for me. And after that, it's just,
right.
You know.
Right. Awesome, brother. Llegamos al día de hoy. So, did you go to school? You studied? ¿Has estudiado? Where did you study?
So I went after high school when... In my senior year, my dad said, hey, go ahead and take over the group. You know, I was,
oh, wow.
I was 18 years old, so.
He handed the keys, las llaves. Al...
I finally got to pay myself.
Hey.
Ya no me da leche, right?
Right.
Like, okay, yes, it sounds good, you know.
Yeah.
Pero, when I graduated from the Baker High School. It's like kind of for the health professions.
Wow, okay.
So I went to school. It's called University of Houston Downtown. People say, you know.
It's still a branch off of the University of Houston.
Right.
The 1A big school.
Right, okay. A big school, awesome. Yes. They're kind of independent, but when I went there, didn't know what I was going to do.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
Obviously, you know, but...
let me back to you, brother. You went there and it's a scholarship or you paid for your own stuff?
So I got a grant.
A grant. Okay, so, you awesome. Know, you don't have to pay that back, which is good.
Exactly.
So all the mariachis watching, get grants, not financial aid.
That's right. Yeah, you know, it all depends on how much your parents pay. My mom never worked.
Okay.
Just my dad.
So your dad ordered
it. So we were qualified because it was five of us.
Okay.
And so all the calculations.
See.
But I was fortunate. My first 2 years... I didn't know what to do. I was kind of screwing around a lot. I was always in a game room playing pool.
Oh, okay.
Which I won like 3 championships.
Wow.
Skippy Blas. So after the second year, me quitaron el grant.
Wow.
Then I had to pay for it. You know, during that
That's
time.
That's the way it works. Yes.
He's like, oh man.
Oh, man. And then I
met my wife there. So, she was a huge inspiration to me. Hey, okay. Tu vas a hacer esto? And then my suegros, you know, to be suegros, they're like, hey, tu vas a hacer esto? You know, my parents, you know, unfortunately, they were always supporting me. Like, hey, tienes que ir a hacer esto.
Sí.
But they were really there because they knew. So, you know, my wife had a goal for her. So, you're going to be with me. Pues, tu vas a hacer esto? You know, sí. So she was always there wrong with something. Long story short,
yes.
Took me 8 years to finish.
No, that's fine, brother. And, pero llegaste, you did.
Exactly. Okay. So many times I wanted to quit.
Right. And there you go.
I never stopped going,
mm-hmm.
but I was so far behind. I had to catch up, and man, it was so sweet when you get that.
You get to the end, brother.
You got to the end.
You get that paper in your hand.
That's right.
I made it.
I graduated as a math teacher.
Wow. Okay.
So during the time I was in college, I was also kind of teaching with an organization called MECA, and they would send us out.
MECA,
they would send us off to. It's a nonprofit. They would send us off. Hey, go to this school. Hey, terminamos en. We had some students and the program rolling, you know?
Yes.
So at the same time, I was like, man, I don't know if I want to do this because it's like, it's a little frustrating, man. Like, I didn't have the necessary strategies to kind of teach, you know?
Yes, sir.
You just teach, I look at this, nothing, you know?
Sí.
And I'm like, so I had to make a choice. Like, well, you know what? I'm going to teach math. I'm good at it. And everybody knows what 5 times 5 is. I mean, come on, there's one out there.
That's so long ago.
So like that's the route I took.
Okay.
So I went to about 5 interviews when I graduated.
Yes.
Nobody wanted to give me a job.
Wow. Is it because you were a newbie coming in? Or?
Well, you know, I there's certain schools that you went in. I didn't want to teach middle school because I knew how it was in middle school.
Ah, okay.
I knew how
it was. I'm telling you because I used to be a teacher myself.
Uh-huh.
I taught for 8 years. And I did elementary, middle, and high. You do it because the way you worm it or the way they...
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Listen, I got to get know. When I was in third grade, I was a good kid. You know?
Okay. Yes.
So then my student teaching, it all up, but finally, I saw this opening. It's like, math teacher, 6th grade. No, hombre, pues, I need a job. It's all casado.
Yes. Lo que caiga, bro.
Bam.
Whatever lands.
Patrick Henry Middle School. You know?
Here in Houston.
Aquí in Houston. Okay. Went there and interviewed. Oh, mijo, your name is Banda. She's a lovely lady.
Yes.
You got the job. We need somebody like you. Like,
right.
Man, I'm like, oh,
you
man.
Felt good. Finally, I'm in.
Man, so it felt good. Taught math for 1 year. Y después, that first year, I told them, I was so excited.
Yes, yes.
For the home,
I can
you
understand,
know? Man. We had our first Christmas luncheon for teachers. Le dije a Ms. Banda, la principal, do you mind if I bring my brothers? I want just gonna play a couple of Christmas tunes here. Yeah, mijo,
tráetelos.
Well, de casualidad estaba un big dog de North Houston que estaba ahí, you know. He goes, you should start a mariachi. Like,
look at that.
I go, I guess, you know, whatever, you know.
Well, a ray of light. You should start. That's what he says. Start a mariachi.
Yeah.
What did you think? You just blew him off and said, he's a kid.
I just blew him off.
Okay.
And everybody kind of respected him.
Okay.
And, you know.
Okay.
Bueno, pues ya vino at the end of the year, then the principal approached me.
Right.
So, yeah, Mr. Taran said,
Taran.
let's get this started. How do you want to do it? I'm like, well, it has to be a class. He asked, but the whole and said, okay, wow. We're going to order the instruments. Give us boom, boom. I'm like, are you serious? Wow. Well, then the next year, which was my second year, I taught 5 math classes and then 1 mariachi class. It was, and I kind of hand chosen because from my math students, I like, vamos, hasta había unos dos, tres morenitos ahí. Wow, good. Right, yeah. I'm put these in, man. That's in casico, right? Because I didn't want to, like, cualquiera, you know?
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, then that third year, it was a huge hit. 2 mileage classes, 4 math classes. So I was kind of doing that. I did that for 7 years. And then our school applied to become a magnet school. So then I just did all music. So I just kind of get certified in music.
Right.
After that, this is my 18th year there.
So. Wow.
Puro, yeah.
I've seen in Facebook, Maestro Longoria, that you've inspired a lot of people. I was, of course, I'll do a little research before I come in. I don't want to just come in the blind. But you meet up with students, your ex-students, and how they thank you for always keeping them in line and how you inspired them. So, 18 years, I'm pretty sure a lot of bad seeds and good seeds that have sprouted. How many of those have been mariachis?
Man, I can't keep a count. But probably that are still current, maybe about 20.
Wow.
20 to 30, más o menos.
Yes.
You know, I have a lot of students that have been policemen and other fields, really important fields.
Yes, yes.
I think mariachi, like, again, God put me here for a purpose, and I've kind of already noted or discovered why I'm here. You know?
Okay.
So I give the passion of mariachi to the students, but we're teaching them how to become successful through motivation of something that they can lose, that really inspires them, but they can accomplish anything, you know?
Right.
So I think I'm a pretty easygoing guy. I'm
awesome.
Very flexible. I'm understanding with the different situations that the students have. And that brings us really close together, and you keep in touch with them, and they appreciate that, you know? So,
right.
Man, that to me is the most valuable thing that I've learned so far.
Awesome, Master Longoria. Ken, is it fair to say that mariachi music or a program, siendo during school or after school, will help the students not to be and get involved with the wrong crowd? Can you give us some feedback on that, or have you seen a situation where you've seen that?
I see that every year. You know, when you see a kid, you know, you let's do that. You just study them. You're like, this is the, you know, he's got something, right? He's talented. But oh man, when you give everybody a chance, it doesn't matter who it is. You have the worst kid. You'd be surprised, like, oh my God, there's talent hidden in every single person, and you don't discover it until you give that person an opportunity. And that's when you can turn things around, you know?
Right.
Use that to give them the opportunity. Hey, you know what, man, I believe in you, man. You got something special in you. Yeah, then you have your performances here and there, and they're feeling good. Then they build a relationship with the other students. Then they're like, man, I can't believe I'm making music. They llamas, hey, you got a birthday?
Yes.
It's cumpleaños de mi mamá. No, it's rápido. Hey, get the phone right here.
Right.
Let's call her. And yeah, parents, you know, they're like, I said, this is the most valuable gift you can give somebody. So it goes a long ways to how mariachi music can really make a difference in every single person's life. You know,
wow.
It's a process, you know, obviously.
Si.
You can't change one person like one day to the other. It's un proceso. Slowly. And that's what life has taught me. Don't give up on students, because it takes everybody different times to acknowledge this is the right path.
Awesome, brother. Muy bien. So, there was a story. It didn't even make headlines, and I'll put it on the podcast. You have a little girl, and she has disabilities. And one thing that caught me that you said is she didn't even like this mariachi music. And by the end, I think it was a semester, she had mastered all of getting there. 2 instruments. Mm-hmm. Can you give us feedback on that?
So the chair of the special education.
Yes.
She said, hey, I have a student, you know, her name is Marjorie. Okay, cool. She wants to go in there and play piano. Like,
wow. Okay.
All right. I said, I don't teach piano. I don't know how to play piano. I have a piano. I mean, she'd just fiddle around, whatever.
But okay.
I bring her and, I don't know, my, she had a little guitar.
Si.
Hey, Marjorie, how you doing? No, but say, hi, you know.
Si. Shy, very shy.
Shy. So I go, what are you doing here? I go, I don't know. I want to learn how to play piano. Like, well, I can't
teach straightforward.
Straightforward. Okay. Yeah. And I was straightforward with her. I said, I can't teach you piano. I don't know how to play piano. I said, try this here. What about the guitar? Well, that sounds good. Man, within like 10, 15 minutes, she had two chords down.
Really?
Two chords down. Something that a lot of my students can't do in like 6 weeks.
So you were at all like, what?
Yeah. So uh-huh. I'm like, wow.
Right.
So
this is fast.
Yeah. You know, obviously she's visually impaired. So she can't see.
Hold on. Stop. She can't see.
She can't see.
And she picked up the guitar.
Yes.
And learned two chords just like
two
that.
Chords within 15 minutes. And Jesus. So I was, you know, you're creating something.
Yes.
You can't see one more. You're thinking 100 miles an hour.
Yes.
All right, you see this fret here? That's first one, second one, third one. And then we're just figuring out. And she just grabbed it, man. And like,
wow.
And strumming and like, oh my God. So that was the big offer that day.
Right.
And I go, and then next door, because I have I'm in a T building at that school. Next door, you can hear the mariachi class there jamming away, you know. I said, you hear that music right there? Do you know what that is? No. I go, that's mariachi music. I don't like that music. They're like, oh, okay. Well, what kind of you like? I don't know. She said, like, Maluma or something.
Maluma. That's another episode. But anyway.
I'm like, oh, yeah. This is not going to work, right?
Yeah, this is totally.
All right, here, let's see.
Two different worlds, brother.
Like, yeah, right? Definitely.
Right.
So, you know, check out what class she had. She had to leave. And,
yes.
And the teacher said, hey, she wants to come back tomorrow. Traila, you know?
Right.
And I'm like, man, what happens if I put this girl on my land? Let me just see.
Wow.
Right? So I put her nombre.
So you were a scientist. Let me try. I mean, she picked this up. Let me see what she can do with the violin. And then?
So it's a little bit more difficult because, you know, when you're putting the ball here,
yes, sir.
There's nothing, you know, your hand has to coordinate going straight.
Right, exactly. It's got a line.
So the problem is that the ball is going this way.
Right.
Or, you know.
Slanted.
So,
yeah.
But my goal for that was to kind of just get her to make a violin sound on a string and then keep that straight. But man, within the first 30 minutes, while she was following, and you know, we came up with, you know, watch the alligator. So the alligator's like, you get it, watch it. This is
you know? Right.
But some little clue words, and she's like, okay, right. Then she, like, come out. So, man, that's one of the coolest. I've actually had another student that was, I mean, 100% visually impaired. And I taught her about 20 years ago.
Wow. You also have, I saw that on Facebook.
Yeah.
She's, of course, graduating blind.
Mm-hmm.
And you taught her.
Lives on her own.
So you, let me ask you this. This is what I'm trying to get at. I'm trying to brainstorm here. How difficult was it for you to teach somebody that's visually impaired, because la mera verdad, en veces uno sufre más people that can actually see. Yes?
Oh, you're definitely right. I think les falta eso, right?
Right.
They cannot see, but their strengths in the other fields, like their touching, their feeling, their listening, is so much more powerful.
Right.
That gives them the ability to really be successful.
Wow.
And man, I'm still learning, and I'm so amused every day that, and you know, I get a chance to see her. She's so happy, man. She's
awesome.
I contacted this other former student, mm-hmm. who works at the district office now, and she actually makes the SAR test for the vision.
Wow.
That's what she does. But she was a great pianist, so my teaching with her was only for a couple of years.
Awesome.
But I contacted her. Hey, tengo una vez. So she came to the school one time and met her, and they got to talk. How do you put up makeup? You know, stuff that an eighth grade can do. But man, it was really, really cool to put them together.
Yes.
So they can inspire, you know, each other.
Right.
More the little girl. Para que, so she knows that, hey, you're not the only one doing this. You can be successful. You can.
Right.
There's no limits to what you can do.
Right.
You can go to school. You can live on your own. You can do whatever
you want.
Anything. Yeah.
Yes.
So that was really powerful to see that.
Awesome, bro. You inspired two visually impaired students, and they're awesome. ¿Qué consejo? What advice would you give someone that wants to follow your footsteps?
Wow. You know, life takes you in a journey. Embrace it. We all have our downfalls, you know, and you got to learn from that. When you feel that you're on the bottom, the only way you can go is up. And, you know, you have to motivate yourself because nobody's going to do it for you. So in my case, I feel like if I died today, I'd be happy. Because I've been able to inspire students. I've traveled the world with my mariachi. I've performed in Armenia and China, Canada, Macedonia, Albania. So, you know, I guess when I was younger, I really wanted to be a performer, you know?
Right.
Be able to travel. It didn't happen. But it happens now. You know, I can kind of buy it from here and there. And
right.
Those are the fruits that of hard work that of the different in opportunities that I've had, that mariachi has given me to perform in different parts of the world, to inspire students, to have a great family, to have a supportive wife, you know, that my kids are now following kind of the musical steps también, you know, right. So I'm totally happy. So, you know, what more can I ask for? I'm here sitting with you.
Yes.
You know?
Awesome, brother. You mentioned you traveled the world. Mariachi music has, I guess now that you mentioned, been every corner of the world. What are the, como reacciona? How do the people react when they see, does the actual mariachi music, when they see it, is it festive? Do you see people like, what is this? What is this? Do they ask you?
Well, you know, when we all perform in front of a different kind of audience.
Right.
There, I think the visual part is kind of like they could say like, wow, that's different. It's pretty right. Cool. It's, they see the violins, the trumpets, it's loud, you know, it's festive.
Right.
Colorful suits. And so we play the traditional and a little bit of everything, right?
Okay.
But in the thought that I always have when I go to a different country is the last 2-3 songs is what I get them.
Really?
This is it.
Really? Okay.
So when I go to a different country, we always learn 2 or 3 songs that are popular in their language. And the face that they make.
Really?
The ah, the what the
yeah. Yes, happened. Yes. But these guys from Mexico are right. Playing our music.
We're introducing our songs. They're learning about us through music because, you know, music is universal. It's a bridge
right.
That joins us. But when you really hit them with their song, it's like me going to China and saying, hey, we're going to sing your song. And they might sing, A pesar de todo. Like,
right.
Really? Or something that like, you know, it's yes. Like, that's really cool. I think it's a high respect for people that to appreciate your culture.
Wow.
So that's how we do it, man.
Wow. And, when those songs, and this is with Mariachi
Imperial America.
So
right?
You've been in places. That's good, brother.
The crazy thing about like a first time, it's a first instance. When I first thought about this, I was inspired by the idea of Mariachi Vargas when they sang a Japanese song. Like, man, what it does, it sounds like
cool. Como Nube de Mar.
Nube de Mar.
Nube de Mar.
That's that really, cool. You know, like, man, that's really cool. So I'm like, what other culture could I get?
Right.
That could, hombre, aquí donde quiera, Chinese buffet,
sí,
right?
Donde quiera.
Man, I was going to every Chinese buffet comiendo de más.
Sí, no, no, está bien.
Hey, what's a famous song that you wanna? So every Chinese song?
Yes.
Me la escribí and I'm not looking up. And then there was one song que like everybody knew. Me la aprendí. And then cada vez que ya me hacían burla mis compañeros. Sí. A ver, ¿cuál vas a cantar? La misma. That was my investigation.
Sí.
And then there would be some, oh, how do you know that song?
It's right.
Chinese. Like, wow. That's it. So I included that song in one of our albums. that we recorded, and it was a huge hit, and we got to play it for the Chinese Community Center, and that's what opened the door.
That's true, brother. Give us more info on that. How many albums, and where can you find them? Is it digitally, or give us some feedback?
So we have three albums.
Three albums.
One digitally on it, Tenemos, is the last one, the one that we did, and has some Chinese songs, and a couple of from Hindi, because we've been in India también.
Wow.
And then that album has three, also one from Armenia, Armenian property.
Sí. So
that's probably one of my favorites. But you can go to CD Baby and find it there.
Okay.
You get a download.
Awesome, brother.
Yes, sir.
Muy bien. Entonces, para cerrar, Maestro Longoria, 50 años, 50 years from now, what do you want your legacy to be? ¿Cómo quieres que recuerden tu legado?
That's tough, right? I mean...
Hey, have you thought about it?
I kind of thought about it, mm-hmm. pero... I just want, because right now I'm really tied into my school, you know.
Yes.
The school, that's really what's impacted me the most. You know, we don't make a lot of money, but we're rich and I would love for my students to one day say, we're going to have this huge reunion where you can see massive numbers of students get, let's just jam.
Sí.
Or de repente, el día de Chabelo, Don Chabelo, or Maestro Chabelo, we're having it on such date.
Right.
Y que todos se unan y just jam, you know?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. To remember what has been done here in Houston.
Right. Your legacy también. Estás dejando algo para tus hijos.
Yeah.
Right. What would you want them to do? If this was a message to them. ¿Qué es lo que quieres para ellos? What? They follow your footsteps, be better than... Shoot.
Man, I...
Be a doctor, don't do this. Dime, chavalo.
Mi papá nos hizo fuerza, right?
Okay.
But I'm thankful for that,
right?
You know? The discipline was totally different. Nowadays, we have so much other stuff that our kids can follow, you know? I just want my kids to be happy. If... I have them in music because it's not for them to be mariachis. It's for them to continue to have a piece of, this is what my dad did. This is what my grandfather did.
Yes.
This is what my great grandfather did. And I don't want it to die. I want them to share it with their kids too. Even if they don't become mariachis, but I want them to get the full experience.
Sí.
You know, the not really the full experience. Full experience is talon and all that. I don't want them to go through that. That's totally different. You know,
we had
some hard times, but to really know the music and to say, I lived it, I went through it, I experienced it. This is what my dad really loved. This is why he really loved it. So I have passion for it. And for them to continue to give it to their kids. Que no muera.
Right.
But for them to be whatever they want. They want to be a doctor. They want to be whatever they want.
Go with it.
Go with it. Yes. That's what I want for them.
Awesome, bro.
Yeah.
Awesome. Bueno, Maestro Longoria, thank you for being on this episode of Mariachi Podcast. You have been an inspiration, of course, to me and a lot of people, brother.
Thank you. Thank you, Javier.
I don't know what else to say, but thank you. And to see that experience, it was something awesome. When we were back there, that really inspired me, because the way you handled your groove, I was like, that's a director right there, you know?
You guys, and in my respects for you guys too, you guys did a fabulous job.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Mariachi is about, meeting people like you. And we're, you know, we're on the bus jamming.
That's something, you take that forever. It's something that the guys always talk about, Maestro, is that. He goes, that guy... We didn't know who he was, pero no cayó mal en nada ni frente, you know, because some people are like, what's fucking guy?
Well, and that's the thing.
And he comes in and he just makes everybody around him so happy. So that's why a lot of guys, Mariachi Jalisciense has a lot of respect for you, brother, and your guys.
Likewise.
It's the Alexis, that crazy guy. Hey, that's another episode, but props to you and your members, Mariachi Imperial de América.
Gracias.
Thank you.
A la
gloria. Thank
gracias.
You.
Mucho éxito en lo que estás haciendo, ¿eh?
Thank you, brother.
Thanks a lot.
Gracias.
So there you have it, Mariachi Podcasters. That was el maestro José Longoria, Chabelo, as we all know him. It was a real pleasure to talk to him and have him in one of our episodes. A real humble person and educator. A shout out to all the members of his mariachi, all of them very talented musicians. To give you more information about the Mariachi Invitational that we spoke about, it's actually an annual Houston livestock and rodeo show. The Go Tejano Committee invites 5 professional mariachi groups from across the state of Texas to compete in the rodeo's Mariachi Invitational. The 5 groups, whose identities remain secret during the performances, compete throughout 2 rounds before advancing to the final round in NRG Stadium. The first round, called the Showcase, is held at the Arena Theater the day before the semifinals, which are held in the Hideout at NRG Park on Go Tejano Day. The first 2 rounds are judged by 5 mariachi professionals or educators. Judges score them in several categories, including musicianship, creativity, and showmanship. The 2 finalists compete in NRG Stadium in front of the Rodeo Houston crowd of more than 70,000 people. The winner is then determined by the audience applause. There are cash prizes for all participants, ranging from $1,000 to $7,500 for the first place. So, Go Tejano Committee, if you're listening, Javier Rodriguez from Mariachi Podcast wouldn't mind being a judge. Anyway, thank you. This is Mariachi Podcast Episode 3. I hope you enjoyed it and see you for the next episode. Take care, guys.